Монголын дуу хоолой радио ярьж байна.
The Voice of Mongolia in English is speaking. Сайн байна уу? Welcome to the Voice of Mongolia in English, which comes to you from Ulaanbaatar, the capital city of Mongolia. This half-hour transmission can be heard in Southeast Asia at 900 UTC on 12085 kHz and in Europe at 1430 UTC at 12015 kHz shortwave. You can also visit our website at www.vom.mn/en and listen to an online version of our daily broadcast.
Hello, this is Voice of Mongolia. In this edition, we'll have the daily news first, followed by a musical break as usual. Then we have an interview with Ms. Michelle Manouk, CEO of Future Coal, and Mr. Zaljaral, CEO of Mongolian Coal Association, as they explore the future of coal and sustainable energy solutions. So stay with us. Here is the news. Foreign tourists describe Mongolia as modern, safe, and hospitable. To achieve Mongolia's goal of attracting 1 million tourists in 2024, the Ministry of Environment and Tourism of Mongolia and the Mongolia Tourism Organization jointly organized the National Tourism Forum at the State Palace on April 15, under the Tourism Week 2024. The forum aimed at solidifying future goals for the tourism industry and fostering intersectoral coordination. Chairman of the Board of Directors of the Mongolia Tourism Organization stated that when reviewing international media coverage throughout 2023, a positive shift in perception of Mongolia was evident. In recent times, foreigners have described Mongolia as modern, young, safe, hospitable, a digital nation, a country where sustainable development prevails, and a rapidly developing country. During the forum, participants mentioned that before the pandemic in 2019, a maximum of 500,000 tourists visited Mongolia, while last year, 650,000 tourists traveled around the country, generating 4.4 trillion MNT in revenue. The forum convened over 880 representatives from the environment and tourism departments of 21 provinces, tourism associations, academics and researchers in the tourism industry, guides and enterprises, as well as enterprises operating in the industry. Over 10,000 Mongolians safeguard tangible cultural heritage. The Ministry of Culture of Mongolia launched the Cultural Revival National Campaign in 2023, aiming at strengthening national common values, which included in Vision 2050, Mongolia's long-term development policy, and ensuring the implementation of cultural laws. Following a successful nationwide implementation in 2023, the Cultural Revival Campaign for 2024 commenced in Ulaanbaatar City, hosting a meeting for the capital's more than 1,400 inheritors representing seven categories of intangible cultural heritage on April 15. Ministry of Culture of Mongolia opened the meeting by introducing the ministry's policies to promote cultural heritage conservation, protection, and development. Minister Namin said, intangible cultural heritage, a fragile and invaluable treasure, is transmitted through generations. Therefore, to protect our intangible heritage and ensure its stability, it's vital to establish a national communication network for inheritors who share common goals and values. Public awareness of the diverse and valuable forms of intangible cultural heritage, along with a clear understanding of its significance, will foster respect for these traditions among citizens. It, in turn, will spark an interest in passing on the heritage, ensuring its continued existence and viability. Intangible cultural heritage encompasses a vast array of traditions, including the mother tongue, its associated cultures, oral literature, long and short folk-long songs and epics, along with their unique singing and performing styles, and the contortion and circus artistry. In Mongolia, 10,900 inheritors safeguard the heritage by transmitting it to future generations. Indian ambassador to Mongolia presents a copy of Letter of Credence. Deputy Foreign Minister of Mongolia welcomed Ambassador Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary of the Republic of India to Mongolia on April 12th and received his copy of Letter of Credence. Deputy Minister requested Ambassador to pay utmost attention to strengthening the strategic partnership between Mongolia and India, particularly broadening and developing the cooperation in tourism, agriculture, transportation, logistics, and information technology, as well as enriching the bilateral economic cooperation with new contents, facilitating commissioning of major joint projects and programs, including the oil refinery plant within the planned period. Newly appointed ambassador expressed his commitment to exerting efforts towards increasing the frequency of high-level reciprocal visits, implementing and completing joint projects before the deadline, exploring the possibility of exporting Mongolian mining products to the Indian market, and increasing the number of students and youth studying in India. Right, that's all for today's daily news. After the musical break, we'll have an interview with Ms. Michelle Manuk, CEO of Future Coal, and Mr. Doljaral, CEO of Mongolian Coal Association. Stay tuned.
Don't hold on.
Please welcome back. You are tuning Voice of Mongolia in English. In today's edition, we'll present an interview with Ms. Michelle Manuk, CEO of Future Coal, and Mr. Zaljaral, CEO of Mongolian Coal Association, as they explore the future of coal and sustainable energy solutions.
And let's start our interview talking about your current visit to Mongolia. Could you please share with our viewers what is the purpose of your visit and also introduce your organization?
Yes, thank you. Well, firstly, it's good to be here. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome.
Excited to join a conversation. We are here really at the invitation of the Mongolian Coal Association, where there's recognition that we have work that's important in terms of our partnership and cooperation. Future Coal Global Alliance very much works at the international level to support many of the national organisations in their work, where that can be focused quite domestically. But our job is really to ensure that there is an international platform where coal-consuming and producing nations have the opportunity to cooperate, have the opportunity to really ensure that best practice in coal technology and abatement is enhanced across the coal value chain, to ensure that we have a robust and transparent global coal market. And these are, you know, very key parts and key features of a well-functioning global coal value chain, which is quite interconnected no matter who your particular market is. So, yeah, for our visit this trip, we are here to talk about Future Coal Now, which is a rebrand of an organization that was called the World Coal Association that was around for 40 years or so. And we just rebranded last year in November 2023. And now we are here to communicate this with the key players in the coal industry here, and also to seek their participation on the global platform, which offers them much support and benefit in terms of some of their vision for the industry.
Mm-hmm. Mongolian coal sector, it's very important to be part of this global initiative, because the economy, industry, everything is based on coal, but we are not only such country in this globe. There are other countries which have similar conditions, situation based on coal, and they face basically the same problems, environmental issues, financing, and this current global anti-coal trend, and how we have to survive, how we have to live with these conditions. So we are learning from each other, and also the Global Alliance makes big efforts to change this approach to coal, that coal can be used in more sustainable way.
Since when the Mongolian Coal Association and the Future Coal Organization are partnering and collaborating in this field?
It's 2 years now,
yeah,
I think.
Two years
now, and it's and very much it's been an education. We've been very fortunate to have the guidance and the direction, and now it's quite important that we don't just have the association, but that we have the industry players, the key industry players, because this is really where the partnerships and the cooperation exists across the different coal producing and consuming regions. And we, as you know, as we've discussed already, we share this vision, and many nations, particularly in the emerging and developing markets, they have the same vision as, you know, here in Mongolia. They want to contribute both to the economic development of their country, but also become and be that responsible citizen from an environmental perspective. So there is much to share and cooperate on, and there's actually more shared objectives for these global mm-hmm. commitments that we're all making, and we are always going to be stronger together. And this is very much something that we both recognize, that in particular for countries like Mongolia to have the support of other nations who have a similar aspiration is very positive.
Mm-hmm. We have just talked about like global commitments, and there's a global international commitment to reduce the carbon dioxide emission by 2030 by 45%. And is it possible now, as a person who works in the coal industry sector, how do you see this goal? Is it achievable?
Well, the International Panel on Climate Change made it very, very clear that if we were to actually reach any of these goals, we really had to embrace CCS and CCUS. But also the cost of reaching these goals is quite immense. And I think we are behind, mm-hmm. there is no doubt. But one of the major issues for the funding and the financing of abatement solutions is they tend to actually disadvantage coal mm-hmm. and bias coal. And this has not been positive because many countries who choose coal as part of their energy mix and who signed up as signatories to the Paris Agreement under their nationally determined contributions, they actually put forward for abated coal solutions. And what we've found over the years is that the financing and investment sectors and even certain policies across certain multinational government type bodies have actually disadvantaged and negated any opportunity for those sorts of solutions to be funded. So we've really not supported the coal industry to really find those solutions and move forward mm-hmm. by restricting access to the financing and also by not really allowing them to fully participate. Let me say also that, you know, as an industry, we can also do better. Mm-hmm. And part of the work of Future Coal is to really make sure that we are collaborating as a global coal value chain to make sure that we are putting our best foot forward and being very clear and very credible in our aspiration to modernize our coal value chain and make sure that it is an abated coal value chain mm-hmm. and the abatement possibilities are not just CCS. There mm-hmm. are many opportunities for the upstream mm-hmm. and at the combustion level mm-hmm. And across other aspects of coal allied industries to actually find ways to be more efficient, to deal with waste management, mm-hmm. to deal with emissions controls. All of these processes and technologies actually exist today. So it's quite important that we educate on this.
Mm-hmm. You have just mentioned the CCS technology. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, I mean, technically, the CCS technology allows coal power to be abated up to 99%, right? So it's a very important technology. We've seen over the years that many are working on how they can actually reduce the capital mm-hmm. costs of CCS. It is still for many trying to work out, well, what is the incentivization mm-hmm. to capture carbon, which is why utilization of the CO2 is so important, mm-hmm. Whether that's, you know, maybe in a, to actually support a greenhouse of plants mm-hmm. or soda stream mm-hmm. or, enhanced oil recovery. Mm-hmm. These are all important considerations when looking at not just constructing CCS, but which is a very technical type of project, but also how do we make that meaningful and, mm-hmm. and work through that. So look, I think there's certainly been more understanding and more momentum to try and get CCS projects up. You know, governments around the world are trying to work through that. I think it's still important. There are many other things that we can do mm-hmm. on that pathway, right. Particularly in coal power. That actually does need to happen mm-hmm. for a lot of coal power before you can actually apply that final step.
Technically speaking, whenever you, whatever you burn, mm-hmm. then you generate CO2, right? Mm-hmm. And this CO2 can be collected and sequestrated.
Mm-hmm. In other words, it can like reduce the carbon dioxide emission without like fully abandoning the fossil fuels, right?
Right, right. And this is the carbon sequestration. Michelle mentioned about nationally determined contribution. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we have included this carbon sequestration as an option to Mongolian national determined contribution. Mm-hmm. Within that document, I was involved in part of industrial and mining chapter, and we actually covered all emissions from coal mining, mm-hmm. coal transport, and coal mine methane, mm-hmm. and also byproduct gases from oil recovery. And one of good option for carbon sequestration is using CO2 to extract crude oil. Mm-hmm. When you extract crude oil, you pump water normally mm-hmm. to keep the pressure. Mm-hmm. And then when you pump there CO2, mm-hmm. then you reduce carbon footprint of in industry and increase oil production, which is economically mm-hmm. good and environmentally also good, mm-hmm. especially for Mongolia, where water is the precious mm-hmm. stuff.
Mm-hmm. Continuing our interview, talking about the coal market, how would you assess current status of coal market in Mongolia?
Fortunately, we are located next to China. Mm-hmm. China is half of the world in terms mm-hmm. of coal consumption mm-hmm. and coal production and coal mining also. Mm-hmm. So the biggest market is next to us. That means we will always have market mm-hmm. there. The key issue for Mongolia is improving infrastructure, mm-hmm. how to deliver coal. Mm-hmm. And China uses 4.5 billion tons of coal annually, roughly speaking. Mm-hmm. This year it's going to be 4.7 maybe. Mm-hmm. And that means only 1% of change of mm-hmm. their consumption equals to entire Mongolian production, mm-hmm. 1 or 2%. Mm-hmm. So always there's a small fluctuation in the market mm-hmm. demand, which is more than our production, so we mm-hmm. have this market always, mm-hmm. I believe.
All right, that's the end of this edition of The Voice of Mongolia in English. You heard then the first part of the interview with Ms. Michelle Manuk, CEO of Featured Coal, and Zoljerga, CEO of Mongolian Coal Association. And we will present the last part of the interview on this Friday, so stay tuned.
Yeah.
That's the end of the program, which comes to you from Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. The Voice of Mongolia provides half-hour transmission to Southeast Asia at 900 UTC on 12085 kHz and in Europe at 1430 UTC on 12015 kHz shortwave. You can also download the phone application MNB Radio and listen to all the programs of Voice of Mongolia. Your emails and letters are most welcome with your feedbacks and detailed reception report. Please either email them to vom_en@yahoo.com or send them to the English section, The Voice of Mongolia, CPO Box 365, Ulaanbaatar 13, Mongolia. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.